Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This evening, we're going to be looking at, we're going to be wrapping up chapter 3 in Romans. So we'll be looking at Romans chapter 3, verses 27 through 31. And so as we've seen in Paul's declaration of the good news, he first laid down the bad news, and that was God's wrath. Just to even start to understand the grace of God, you have to understand the wrath of God. And Paul did a pretty good job, very good job, of laying down about the wrath of God, that it's a true wrath, it's holy, it's just. And as human beings, we all fall short. And so just when it looked like all hope was gone for all mankind, everybody would be lost, he brings up a question here in verse 27, where it says, where then is the boasting? Where then is the boasting? And so Paul then will go ahead and answer that question. So I'm going to read verses 27 through 31. It says, where then is the boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So here he answers the question, the boasting is excluded. The Jews had a lot to boast about. They were chosen by God. They were God's chosen people. He gave them, he performed many miracles for them and through them. And even when they were being punished for their lack of faith in him, he still provided for them. 40 years he provided, and then he went to war for them. And so they had a lot to boast about. They were God's chosen people. But here he's, Paul is saying, boasting is excluded. There's no boasting on our part, or on the Jews' part, or on the Gentiles, the boasting is in God and in Jesus' atoning sacrifice. And back under the law, the sins of God's people were punished by animal sacrifices. And those animal sacrifices were pointing to a pure sacrifice that was going to be coming, which we know that's Jesus Christ. And his sacrifice would remove all of sins once and for all. There would be no more need for animal sacrifices. And so Paul is saying, for us, the boasting is excluded. And now Paul was one who understood what it was to boast. Paul understood this from his pre-conversion life. Paul had a lot of confidence in himself, and he had a lot of accomplishments as a man. And in Philippians 3, verses 3 through 9, it says, for it is we who are the circumcised, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And now he's going to list some of those. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. Now these were very good accomplishments, and he did have something to boast about. It took a lot of work, a lot of study, and sacrifice was involved. And he would be considered like a role model for Jewish men. So pre-conversion, he was a very accomplished man by his own merits. He was living up to law. He was doing all that he could. And he was proud of himself, and people were proud of him also. I'm sure they looked at him and just said, wow, look at all that he's done. But now we see in verses 7 through 9, after his conversion, he describes what importance all of that prior accomplishments have in measuring up when compared to Jesus' atoning sacrifice. Verse 7, it says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surprising worth of knowledge to Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but by that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And Dennis, just like you had said earlier, the songs that we sing, they have such a beautiful message. This song is not in our songbooks. It is called How Deep the Father's Love, and it's by Stuart Townend. Some of you may have heard it or know it. I'm just going to read the words to it. And it says, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sins that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. And this is the part that I think pertains to the lesson tonight. It says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. And I think that's what Paul is saying. This is the verses which they're basing this song on. And again, this is what Paul realizes, that there's nothing that we can do as human beings to merit God's grace. And when you really think about it, not even our faith. Our faith is because of Jesus Christ. Everything comes from Jesus. And so Paul was doing a fantastic job of just laying this out, that there's nothing we bring. Jesus has done it all. And Paul understands this and is communicating this message, that it's only what Jesus did that makes us righteous in God's eyes. Yeah. And it's his work, again, it's Jesus' work that connect us to him. Like scripture says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's almost, I kind of look at it as like an umbilical cord. He's the one that gives us the life. Our faith is at core, and it's coming from him. Not everybody understands that, though. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 23, you're all familiar with the story. The rich ruler, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. It says, you should not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" Again, this ruler, in Matthew, it calls him a rich young ruler, but this individual probably accumulated a lot of wealth, was very successful, and was proud of what he had done. All that up. Gave it all as garbage, he said. This is garbage without Christ. This is garbage. But not everybody can do that. They want to hold on. And so our deeds and our will never meet God's requirements on their own merit for righteousness. But the deeds of Jesus, it keeps all of us, because he kept the requirements of the law. He fulfilled that. And just as this young man said, I was a boy, probably about 13, 14 years old. But again, living under that law, he was going through it possibly, like sometimes we do too, just a check mark. I tithed. I went and I did my Sabbath. I kept the Sabbath holy. He was just checking those things off. But the law also required an inner faith, that while you're doing this, you are understanding, yes, I am a sinner, and I need to make this sacrifice to take away my sins. And so, like we say, Jesus knows our hearts also. And that's because it brings Jews and Gentiles, we're offered the same salvation under the exact same terms. And those terms are faith in Jesus. And it's in Jesus' righteousness that we are justified by God. And then we see in verse 29, Paul asks another question. And that is, if God is the God of the Jews only. So in verse 29 through 31, it says, "Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." So again, Paul answers this question also, that yes, God is the God of the Jews, and yes, he is the God of the Gentiles. And if justification is by the law, then God only belongs to the Jews. But if justification is by faith, then he is the God of both Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews were very familiar. It's actually what set them apart, is they understood that there was only one God. All the other nations around them had several gods, many gods. They had gods for everything. God, again, demonstrates his power when he freed them from Egypt. We see that they had their sorcerers, their magicians, and what they were considering gods. God annihilated, and he was putting the plagues on the Egyptians, but his people, they weren't experiencing that. And so God was showing he is the one and true only God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So they knew there's only one God. So again, Paul is saying, there's only one God. How that then the Gentiles also have the door is open to them also. They just have to have the faith just like you. And they also understood that he's the God of creation, and that he is the God that sustains all things. God is in control all the time. And it's only found in him, salvation. They had this understanding. And God gave man the law, and as men, we failed. But God didn't save them by their keeping the law. Salvation was always by the sacrifice which men brought in faith. And in faith, that was pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. And so that's something, again, that Paul is putting. The boasting is not in anything we do. And it's kind of that same thing. You know, when we come to heaven, it's like, you know, what did you, how did you get here? What did you do? It's only because of Jesus. That's the only reason I'm here. It's because of him. It's nothing I did. And so, again, that is just, it gives us hope. Gave the Gentiles hope, great hope. And so in closing tonight, our salvation from the beginning to the end, we see it in the very beginning and to the end, is a gift from God. And this is all done only because of God's work and his grace. And that's where it comes. At the end of every lesson, we'd like to extend an invitation to you. If you have not come in contact with God's grace, we're here this evening to help you make that decision. We're here to help you. As the Bible tells us, you have to hear the message of Christ, Romans 10:7. You have to hear that message. And if you haven't heard it, again, we'd love to share that with you. Then you have to believe it. You have to believe the message. That's that Jesus was dead. He was nailed to a cross. He was buried, and he resurrected on the third day. And that's in Hebrews 11:6. And then you will want to repent for your sins. You'll want to turn around. You'll want to do a 180 from your sins. Just like they say, to be a Christian, you have to die to have life. Our old self has to die. And then Jesus gives us that new life. And that's in Luke 13:3. And then you confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And then you're baptized for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And at that time, God also adds you to his church. It's not a church that we join. God adds you there. And then we continue on faithfully, Hebrews 10:25. So at this time, if there's anything that we can do for you, anything that we can help you with, if something's on your mind, come forward as we sing this invitation song. We'll be standing for that, and we'll be thankful.